We're happy to have with us right now for the first time, Kent Johnston. He is the Browns strength and conditioning coach. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Vic. Good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. And first thing, every team has a strength and conditioning coach. I know there was a time, and I've covered this league long enough to know a time before every team had one, and it was sort of like, okay, they got one, and then other teams would see their progress and want to copycat that, which is the way of the NFL. But it is a standard role in the NFL now, and has been for years. But what I'd like to ask you is what's it entail? I mean, basically, give us a breakdown of your duties and such with the Browns.
Well, I think the best way to coin the term would be athletic performance. Anything that improves the athletic performance capabilities of our players, that's what I'm involved in. Improving movement, coordination, strength, speed, power, endurance, and applying them to the skill set that the player's going to have to demonstrate on the field. If we're not improving that skill set, Vic, then what we're doing is counterproductive to the players.
Okay. And you measure that, of course, in a systematic way. You've got your own terms in terms of each, and every guy's different and every position's different. So how do you go about quantifying that progress?
Well, that's a good question. And I got in it in that day and age you referred to earlier when – you split duties. You were also a position coach, but you handled the strength and conditioning area. It was refined. It came to the point where the strength and conditioning or the athletic performance coach is actually its own entity. What we do now and what the players respect now, and more importantly, I think what they expect as professionals, is they expect individual programs. So we start with that. What Josh Cribbs may need is different, obviously, than a guy like Joe Thomas. They play different positions, and the skill sets required to play that position are different. So it's important we individualize and customize the player's routine. That's what they expect, and that's what they appreciate, because they know what it takes for them to play, and
right.
That's how we've got to go about it.
And that's the other part of this is the challenge, as I'm sure you're more than up to it and have overcome this maybe years ago. But as you said, from an era when it was a newer thing, when it was something that when the athlete arrived in the NFL, this was something new to him, that he was at an elevated level of training. Now, I mean, when you think about these guys entering the NFL, their agents and the agencies that represent them have specific training centers getting them ready for the combine. So they're doing all this performance stuff, and I'm watching at the combine, as you did, Under Armour putting on these devices to measure all their different reactions physically to things. So it is a science and very sophisticated. So the expectation of the guy is you got to do something for them that they already know is helpful, but they're expecting it to be taken to yet another level.
That's exactly right. And our process here with the Browns, Rick Lyle, who is also a big part of our strength and conditioning, as is Joe Sheehan and his staff, we work really close together. I think the best way to tell the folks what we do here, Vic, is it's a lot like when you go to your doctor. We treat each one of our players that way. We're going to begin everything with an evaluation and an assessment because that tells us what's needed.
Right.
After we perform these various evaluations and assessments, then over the years, comparatively speaking, we can take these results and know where they need to go. After that, just like the doctor, you're going to get a diagnosis. And then you're going to write a prescription, which in their case is a program that takes them to a higher level of development, hopefully.
And when we talk about the individual, so you get the guy who comes in as a rookie, and you decide that, the personnel department's decided that, okay, he's projected to fill this position. They like his skill set, all the things that they envision him becoming this key contributing player
right.
to the Browns. But he needs to get a little bigger. He needs to gain some weight. He needs to gain some muscle strength. And that's in consultation with you as you've done your assessment. How do you balance adding that strength and that weight to the guy by putting him on the program that's going to lead to that and making sure he can still be the fast guy they anticipate him being or the quick twitch guy that they need to be? And where do those two things meet?
Well, this is kind of how I determine it. And I believe that the different skill sets, for instance, for our quarterbacks, Vic, you know, three-step, five-step drops, all the things that are rolling out, you know, the things that they have to do on the field. If what I'm doing in the weight room or on the field with their speed program or their change of direction program, reaction time, whatever it is, if that's not improving their specific skill sets, then going back to what I said earlier, it's really of no value. So in terms of putting weight on a guy and muscle on a guy, if that improves their skill set, that's exactly the direction we want to go. But if it's counterproductive, as you mentioned, you know, if a guy gets too bulky, slows them down, then we've really got to look at what we're doing in the weight room. Football players don't lift weights per se just to lift weights. The only reason for them to lift weights is to improve the skill set that they're displaying on the field.
That's a great point. Kent Johnston is our guest, the Browns strength and conditioning coach. So we're in the off season, and I want to back you up to when the off season for the Browns began after that final game, New Year's Day against the Steelers. From that point until now, what has been your process, your involvement with these guys, knowing that many of them are scattered? Some of them, you know, may or may not be coming back to the team. There's always change there. So how have you interacted with them, and what is the process? Because they aren't due into for the first time back here, not until April 16th.
Right. And to be real frank with you, Vic, it's because of the new CBA.
Right.
It's kind of a new venture for all of the teams in the league, and obviously we're included in that. And I can have actually very little involvement with them. By league policy, we can provide a program for them from February 1 up to the point in time they report back April the 16th.
This is a program that you can, like, send them, email them or whatever?
Right. We can email, we can send them the program, but they have to request it. It has to be voluntary, and they know that. We know that. So the players request this. I send it out to them. It went out to them the beginning of February, and they can choose or not choose to utilize that program, or they can choose to find somebody that might train them prior to April the 16th.
Okay.
And that April the 16th date is a date that the league has defined in which we may start our 9-week off-season program.
Okay. Is it fair to say that most of the guys voluntarily request their program?
Oh,
because
it
helps them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, there's no reason not to, really.
And I think they believe in what we do and in the way we go about things. Rick and I try to be really transparent with the guys, and we try to break it down based on what that individual need is. And, again, I think they appreciate that. So, yeah, they've requested the programs. You know, hopefully they're using them.
And they're we got to hope that that's the case. And we assume, again, their careers are dependent upon their bodies. So they're pros. And it would be foolish not to. The programs that you send, it's not a blanket program for everybody? Are these tailor-made, again, to position,
well,
to athlete?
They're more group-oriented.
Group-oriented, okay.
Position-specific oriented. We can't get too specific and stay in policy with what the league has laid out there.
Okay.
They have to be more of a group type of program, general type of program. Now, obviously, Vic, that changes the day they come in here.
All right, so tell us about that.
Well, because of the way it's set up, in the past, when you started your off-season program, back sometimes in early March,
right,
you had a period of time to adapt to the programming. One thing that we've made clear to the players is when they hit it now, because we're coming in April 16th, they've got to be in a lot better condition. You know, they've needed to have taken it upon themselves to come in, because we're not really going to spend time in an adaptation phase.
Right. You don't have time.
We don't have time. Now, we're not going to do anything that hurts the guy. But, again, it gets back to what you said about being a pro. Those guys are going to have to be professionals, and they will be, and they'll come in, and we'll hit it rolling, because the way that program is broken down is I have 2 weeks of the 9-week period in which the guys can only be with me,
right,
by league rules. The next 3 weeks, they go through the program with me, but then they also can go out on the field and spend some group time with their position coach.
Okay.
And then after that 5-week period, you enter a period of time when you can host and conduct your OTAs.
And there is a measurement that you're doing, I assume, from that point that you do get them. I mean, I know it entails everything from whatever shape they're in when they arrive and then going forward. Building up to training camp, building up to preseason, right? Is there a point at which they've got to – are you measuring certain milestones on the way to training camp and on the way to the preseason regular season?
Sure, sure. There's a pathway that you want to go down. And, again, it's a lot of it's defined on the basis of what Pat or the position coaches desire in a particular player what we see them, what they need physically, and the skill set that they need to perform. So we definitely have a pathway. We take them down. And I believe, Vic, that really the key ingredient going into training camp is there's about a 5-week break from the time we have the last of our OTAs,
right,
until we start training camp.
Right.
And we'll definitely have a meeting about that, I guarantee you. But that 5-week period is going to be all important.
Sure.
In that prep time and to the time you come into camp.
Yeah, can't let it all go.
Can't let it all go, no question.
A lot of chicken wings and different things that everybody's
right.
going to – I know it's what I would do in that fight.
Yeah,
no.
I'm with you.
But the other thing, Coach, is that whatever, as challenging as this might be with the new rules from the collective bargaining agreement, still a heck of a lot better than a year ago when you had nobody until
question.
July. I mean, that was a huge
You
difference.
Are exactly right. we had no way of knowing. But you know what, Vic? I was proud of our guys because, for the most part, they did a good job.
Yeah.
You know,
great.
And not the best of situations for either side.
Yeah, overcoming and adapting.
Yeah.
Kent, great stuff, fascinating stuff, and we look forward to having you back on with us.
Sure, I enjoyed it, Vic.
All right, he is Kent Johnston, the Browns strength and conditioning coach, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.